Well, good morning.
Morning.
I noticed some of you are kind of adjusting your glasses a little bit and saying, man, Brother Josh must have had a rough week this last week. His hair fell out and he looks like he's aged a good bit on us. So just want you to know we're going to be praying for Brother Josh. But my name is Brother Benny. I'm the student pastor. I have the privilege to serve here in the youth ministry as well as being kind of the oldest rat in the barn. So when we go places, a lot of time they look at me and go, you must be the senior pastor. And they usually, no, I'm not. I'm the student pastor. I'll tell it to you like this. We got one of the new coaches in one of the that I was doing like some devotion with their players. And I go over there, I speak to the coach, and he and I get in this conversation. And I said, hey, I usually come and I do like a little 10-minute devotion with you at some point in time with the boys after you finish practice. And he said, man, that sounds great. And he comes back over there to me and he goes, have you got a young guy that's going to come and do that? And I said, no, sir, I am the young guy. And so anyway, that's kind of what you get when you're my age and you get the privilege to be able to serve in our schools and the community with kind of FCA as well as First Priority and as a representative from Bethel Baptist Church. And I want to thank you, Connie and I both want to thank you for allowing us the privilege to serve and work with the students here at Bethel Baptist Church. Today is Family Day. That's a little different for us here. What does that mean? That means our littles are here in the room. So what I would like to do, if you're under the age of 18, if you would just stand under the age of 18. Don't make me come and get you. Okay, good. All right, so let's do this. Also, there's a lot of people who take care of these people in such a time as this. I don't know if y'all remember, but the church of old, everybody just come on in, okay? That means everybody was in here. So all of these young people, they could chose to be anywhere else today, but what they do, they chose to be in the house of the Lord. Now, some of you may be drugged. Your parents drug you here, but let's let them know we appreciate them, as well as their teachers and their leaders. You guys can be seated. My boys over here told me this morning they were going to be my amen crowd, and he said, a couple of them said, hey, we may stand up and say hallelujah. Several years ago, I remember we were at a small church, Connie and I hadn't been saved very long, and we were parents. We had about a 7-year-old and had a 3-year-old, and again, back then, there was no children's church, so what happened was everybody came into the same service, and it was just kind of, that's the way it was. And so our daughter, who is here, by the way, she's now has 4 littles of her own that's sitting over there, her and her husband, and my son-in-law, in whom I am well pleased, by the way. Just so you know, I feel very blessed to have my son-in-law. But anyway, my daughter was sitting inside down on the floor, and she was kind of playing with some stuff, and my son was sitting in the seat, and all of a sudden the pastor, you know how sometimes pastors will just choose somebody's name randomly to say something about? He takes and says, he's preaching on blame, and so he says, it's probably like at the Bowman house. Joel, you probably say, Megan did it, Megan did it, Megan did it, and all of a sudden, Megan raised up out of that floor, and she looked at her mama, and we both had seen that look before. Connie scoops her up as fast as she can. She starts heading out the back door of the church in the foyer. And as soon as Connie hits the foyer, this is what I hear. But Mama, I didn't do it. And so needless to say, that pastor still apologizes every time I see him about that happening. He didn't really mean it, but he said, I learned a valuable lesson. So today we're thankful to have our little ones in here and our little voices. And my take from that was little rabbits have big ears. In other words, they hear what's going on sometimes when even they're not specifically looking at you, they are listening. That's good that 2 ears to listen, 1 mouth to speak. That's last song, What a Beautiful Name It Is. I don't know about you guys, but I kind of thought if they're getting up a busload, I'm ready to go. This morning I couldn't help but think what a beautiful name it is. And I was reminded in Philippians chapter 2, This is totally off script. It doesn't cost you anything. It's free. And by the way, the pastor gave me the liberty. He said, you got as long as you want. And so when you don't preach but about once a year or two, then you got a lot saved up, okay? So my students are going, yeah, that's right, because if he gets you guys, he'll get off of us. So, but in verse 9, it says these words in the book of Philippians. It says, for this reason, God highly exalted and gave him the name that is above every name. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's where we're headed one day, folks. Let us pray. Father, I thank you so much for the day that you blessed us with. And I thank you for the privilege, God, we have to share in here. And God, as we hear little voices, thank you, Father, for blessing our church with little voices. So many churches today would love to say, we have young people. Father, thank you that we have young people that are here. And they're here because, Father, they want to know more about you and they want to follow you in their lives. So, Father, today, as we open your word and as we look in your word and as we focus on a church today that focuses on you, I pray that you would just give us insight. As the psalmist writes in Psalm 19, verse 14, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, O God, be acceptable in your sight, my God, my King, my Redeemer. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Acts. Turn to the book of Acts, and we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 47. I may start with verse 40. It says this, Acts chapter 2, I'll be reading from the CSB. It's verse 40 says, with many other words he testified, and this is Peter, and he strongly urged them, saying, be saved from this corrupt generation. Verse 41 says, so those who accepted his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls or people were added to them. 42 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship of the breaking of bread and to prayer. And this is the church, folks. Verse 43 says, everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. Now, all the believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all and to any who had need. And every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple, and they broke bread from house to house, and they ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Folks, that is a church I want to be a part of. How about you? So how do we get there? How did this happen? So what are the key events of the early church? In the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, it says these words right here. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. That's not just to the preachers. That's to everybody. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And after this, he was taken up as they were watching with a cloud. They took him out of sight. So what happened in the early church? The earthly ministry of Jesus was over. The earthly ministry of Jesus was over, and Jesus did what? He ascended unto heaven. In other words, he left here. So what does that do for you and I? It gives us purpose, don't it? It gives us purpose of what to do. Jesus is not here. There's no plan B. However, he's here through his people. He's here through his Holy Spirit, and we're going to find that out. So what happens next in Acts chapter 2? The Holy Spirit descends on all the believers in Acts chapter 2. And what is the result from that? Well, power. It's what the result is. Matter of fact, if I could give the book of Acts a title, it would be the empowerment of the church. That's our power. It's found through the Holy Spirit. And see, the book of Acts is the first kind of glimpse into the first three decades of the early church, from maybe AD 30 to 63. It's how the gospel is spread and multiplied. It's the lessons and the ascension of Jesus Christ. It focuses on the role that is played by the apostles, such as Peter, who witnessed to the Jews, and Paul, who ministered to the Gentiles. It's presumed that Luke is the author of the gospel. However, Luke, the physician, was a companion or a traveling companion of Paul, believed in the early 60s. The overall message and purpose of Acts emphasizes the work of God through the Holy Spirit in the lives of the people of God. Christianity began to transform a sect of Judaism to what we know today as our world religion. And so how did that happen? It happened by Jesus ascending. It happened by giving us purpose. And then it happens by that Holy Spirit descending on all believers. And then what happens? The result from that was power. So we not only have purpose, but we have power. How do we have power? We have power through the Holy Spirit, don't we? We, you know, I'm kind of reminded of a song that I probably need Pastor Jared to sing this song. However, but y'all remember the song, He Lives? He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. He asks me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Amen. Don't nobody have to tell me where Jesus is. I know where He is, don't you? Amen. He lives in our heart today. I've experienced that. And for many of you, you've experienced that also. So there's purpose and we have power through the Holy Spirit. And guess what? When that happened, believers became confident and they became faithful. And so what was the result of that? Preaching or teaching. And that word preaching, that just means go and tell. It doesn't mean like what I'm standing up here doing in front of a congregation preaching. It means to go and to tell. Did you know you are the best missionary that we could send into the streets as soon as we walk out these doors? That is the person that God has called you to be. No matter where you may be, whether you're at the office, whether you're at work, whether you're at school, whether you're at home, you are the best missionary that we could send there. And I want to thank y'all for giving me the opportunity to work with students. I've been doing a devotion with one of the football teams this past year since July. Every Wednesday at 4:15, Coach Wallace would introduce me and say, "This is the most important part of our week. We're preparing to play a football game, but the most important part of our week is we're fixing to have church right now." And so that is what that was my intro into walking into that. And the year before, it was Coach Dampier who allowed us that opportunity to be able to do that. And then also, as soon as football season ended, well, the basketball coach just said, "Hey, would you like to just come over with us?" And I said, "Yes, I would." And so I went and hung out with the basketball team, and they even let me keep the books. So me and Madeline, we kind of changed seats. I always say, "Well, do you get the seat warm for me? Because now I'm coming in behind you," because I would go before her, then after her. And I got kind of a break in the middle. But every Wednesday, I would get the opportunity to share with the basketball team. And so one day, I was walking into the restroom. And I'm sure y'all want to hear the story. I was walking into the restroom. And when I entered the restroom, there was a group of boys standing over in the corner. Well, there was a group of boys. And guess what? One of them announced me as soon as I got in there. Which means they're probably up to some trouble. One of the basketball boys goes, "Hey, Pastor Benny. Hey, Pastor Benny." And it was like one of the boys, I proceeded to go do what I needed to do. That's why I was in the bathroom to start with. I wasn't going in there for any foolishness myself. So I go, and all of a sudden one of the boys, I hear him in a conversation. And he goes, "Who's that?" And he said, "Oh, that's our preacher." He said, "Preacher? You go to church?" And he said, "No. The church sends him out here to us." And I thought, you know, so many times in life we miss great opportunities because we don't take the gospel outside the doors when we have the power to be able to do it. Not only do we have a purpose to do it, but we have the power to do it, don't we? That's because of what Jesus did on the cross. That's because of that beautiful name. That's because of that wonderful name that one day Scripture tells us that one day every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, just like we declare this little baby that we just prayed for this morning. Yes, this morning the boys and I, we were having a discussion about sin. You don't have to teach kids how to sin. We come naturally. We just do it naturally, don't we? You ever watched them fight over something? One sees something one has, one won't. You don't have to teach that. That's called sin. And sin's what separated us from the love of God. And that's why Scripture says, for the wages of sin is death. We deserve death, but don't you love it when that word's in there? But the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And if we'll confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, the Bible says what? Thou shalt be saved. Not might, not could be. But you know, it's a life change, isn't it? It's a life change. It's not just a get out of hell free card. It's not just praying the prayer, running out the back door with no accountability. It is, you have a purpose now. And now you have the power. How awesome is that for us today here at Bethel Baptist Church? So, when the church focuses on Jesus, Acts chapter 2 brings us there. Peter has all of a sudden preached his first sermon. Can you imagine what was going on there? All of a sudden, Peter decides to preach a sermon out in public. And can you imagine? All of a sudden, they've been kind of hiding. They had been hiding. Peter had denied him. And you know, and sometimes, so many times in life, we think if we've made a mistake that God can't use us anymore. And all of a sudden, you take somebody like Peter, the one that had kind of, that was a little outspoken, that maybe volunteered a little too quick. And all of a sudden, they're sitting in the upper room. And what happened? They said, well, hey, look, he's ascended. What are y'all doing here now? And so they all go to the upper room, and I'm assuming they're eating and talking, and then the next thing you know, the Holy Spirit descends on them, and then all of a sudden they become confident about what Jesus had done in their lives. And all of a sudden, Peter preaches his first sermon. And not only does he preach his first sermon, 3,000 folks give their life to Jesus. I mean, can you imagine what that would have been like? I would like to have worked the altar at that service. I would have liked to have been a part of that. It don't take me much to get excited now. Now, I'm so glad that God gave me a spirit within me that I can be a fool at the ball game, and I can be a fool on the front row. And what I mean by that is, Pastor Jared's a couple times, he says, I always look down and I'm on my tiptoes. Man, if I could touch heaven, I think I'm so close a couple of times from touching heaven through singing, but simply because, man, I know that God's came here to give me a purpose, and he's came here to give me power, and he's came here for me to go and tell. And you know what? He's done the same with you. He's done the same with you. I always heard one of my pastor friends, Jeff Huey, he always used this statement. He would say, you have as much Jesus as you want. You have as much Jesus as you want. Boy, my thoughts is, never be ashamed of God. The Scripture tells us, Jesus says these words, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father. Well, I don't want to be ashamed. And I certainly don't, you know, when Jesus entered the Nazareth, it says that as he entered there, people were shouting. And they said, well, why are they doing that? And they said, well, if they didn't start shouting, the rocks was going to start shouting. Well, I don't know about you, but I kind of don't want a rock to take my place. I want to be that person that I'm not ashamed of what God did. I know that I've been lost. You ever been lost? All right, now listen, I love grandkids because they give you such good teaching material. But my grandson the other day, he's been in church. You know, he's been in church since 9 months before he was born. And so he's 8 years old now, and he says a prayer with his parents. He says this prayer at night before they go to bed. Now, that's something we do as a family, something we taught our kids to do as a family, and something I've always enjoyed doing with my family. And so he says a prayer, and he prays for the lost. And so his daddy picks up on that, and his daddy looks at him after the prayer, and he said, Titus, what did you mean by praying for the lost? And he says, what does lost mean? And Titus says, oh, that's little boys that's lost in the woods. That was his thoughts. Now, again, we have churched it up, hadn't we? That we've sent the wrong message to our kids by not explaining what the word lost is. And so that gave Joel a great opportunity to speak to him about what it meant to be lost. And afterwards, he looked at his dad. And again, we've got some grandkids that are really close. I got to baptize one of my oldest granddaughter, which was such a joy in my life. And I'm looking forward to the opportunity to either seeing them be baptized or baptizing them myself. But it gave him the perfect opportunity to share with him about what it meant to be saved. And you know what? I guarantee you, man, those are precious moments. If you're not praying with your family at home, you miss that. You don't get that. You don't get those intimate moments with your family. That's why I'm so glad that we get to serve God together with a purpose and a power and a power and preaching or teaching. We get to instruct. So what happens when a church focuses, or what happens when a church focuses on Jesus, the church? First of all, Acts chapter 2, verse 41 and 47, we get to participate in people being saved. Ain't that awesome? Hallelujah. Ain't that good? Don't you enjoy getting to see people get saved? I don't know about you, but every time I see somebody give their life to Jesus, reminds me of me giving my life. It reminds me of being that 18-year-old boy, September 21st, 1980, that walked down that aisle and gave my heart and life to Jesus. And listen, somebody, I got saved on Gideon Sunday. Somebody told me, no way you get saved on Gideon Sunday. I got saved on Gideon Sunday. That's how, I mean, God spoke. I knew that I had to walk that aisle that day or else God was going to kill me. Now, I was dating my girlfriend who I'm married to 41 years. Now. Anyway, I was dating. We were dating at that time, and she was a believer, and we was sitting in church, and I'm kind of the boy that I am. I want to hold her hand, and because her daddy wouldn't let me go anywhere with her unless it was something to do with the church. And you know, we've been married 40 years now, and he ain't spoke to me yet. I mean, I love him, but I'm scared of him. You know, because he told me when I asked him if I could marry her, I said, I want to marry your daughter. And you know what he told me? He said, you better love her like I love her. Well, I've been trying to live up to that bill the whole time. I don't know if I've got there yet, but he ain't spoke to me yet. But I'm working on that. But we get to participate in people getting saved. And she would say to me, I'm not even going to hold your hand. I wouldn't want to do anything to distract you from accepting Jesus as your Savior. What do you do with somebody like that? You marry them. That's what you do with them. You marry them. So that's an important thing for you to do. But we get to participate in people getting saved. Next week, we're going to have some people get baptized. That'd get you fired up too, won't it? Don't you get excited about it? Listen, I've seen how some of you act at ball games. Listen, I was doing the county tournament last night, and I'm talking everybody and their brother showed up at the county tournament last night. I tricked my wife, and so I carried her out to eat, but she thought she was going to get to go home. I took her to the county basketball tournament. You know, I thought that was a great ending to a good day. You know, I mean, we'd been cheerleading that morning, and I thought that evening we were doing the and I'm keeping the books. So I bring her over there, and she gets to sit by me, and, you know, hey, how sweet is this, darling, because you've been following me. That's where we met, was at the gym. So we're still hanging out there. And so I see the intensity. They turn the lights out in there. They start flashing, and they introduce the other team, and the hype is just crazy in there. I often have told Brother Josh, I think we should put him on, make an elevator in the floor right here, and we should bring some smoke out, raise him up out here, you know. And he comes out to the Rocky theme, you know, like dun, 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 dun. Because, hey, listen, when I see people get saved, I start getting excited about it, don't you? You know, we're going to have a baptism that's going to happen here in a few weeks. And I know there's I think it's next week, actually. We've got four or five people that are in line to be saved that's been saved and they're going to be baptized. How exciting is that? We got children that's given their life to Jesus. Thank you, Mary Beth, for pouring into those people. Thank you. We've got students that we've seen baptized. We've got adults that we've seen. Thank you, Jesus, for working in our church. What an awesome privilege that we get to experience because we see what God's doing here. You know, you can focus on what you choose to focus on. Like some people may be saying, I'm freezing. I'm hot. You know, that's what you, sometimes if that becomes your praise, guess what? The Lord feels like the only way he can get your attention, make you hot, make you cold. But it'd be really cool if our focus when we came in here was on what Jesus was doing in our midst. I mean, I done walked out of life group with 18 boys. We studied the spiritual disciplines. Now, what kids want to study the spiritual disciplines of Scripture? Well, I know these three did right here and about another 15 others. When people give their life to Jesus, we get the privilege of seeing what he does in saving their souls. And that's exciting to me. To be snatched from the jaws of death, hell, and the grave to salvation. Jesus paid a price for us that we can't pay, on a debt that we owed. So what do we do after that? A church that participates. We're a church that participates in people being saved, but we're a church that connects with other believers. You know, we have first-time visitors every week. And man, if you thought you were getting Brother Josh, man, come back next week. He'll be here next week. But Brother Josh will be here next week. We have folks that are moving our area. There's houses going up all over the place. We have an online church family. Who would have ever thought we would have said that? In the midst of COVID now, we have an online church family that we get to minister to every week. And people watch our services from all over. How awesome is that to say, and what does that mean? We're connecting with other believers. Like before you leave, Pastor Jared's going to say, hey, fill this Connect card out. I'm going ahead and beating him to it. Fill that Connect card out. Man, if you've got questions about your salvation, we want to talk to you. If you're visiting the church, we'd like to meet with you simply to say thank you. Because you don't have to come here. Listen, if you're looking for a church, I'm giving you some reasons why to choose this one. I could have preached on anything. I mean, when a pastor called me Friday and said, tag, you're it. You know, I said, okay. And so I put God on the spot and I said, hey, God, you know what all I got going on this weekend? You better give me something to say quick, okay? And so God says, and this is where God directs me. And so this is why you're getting it, okay? So I already got it, so I'm giving it to you, okay? So that's the way it's going. So we're going to participate in people being saved. Y'all got to listen fast because I like to talk fast. We're going to connect with other believers because somebody said, we're going to be getting out of here early because Pastor Benny's speaking. I said, no, you're not. You ain't getting out of here early. I'm going to let you out of here early. I'm going to keep you as long as I want to. And Justine, I may make you sing that song again. Who knows? I mean, that's just kind of the way I like to do it. But we get to connect with believers. We have an online church family. Thank you, Mr. Eric, for making sure that's quality. Well, if you have to go home and you have to watch church online, I'm awful at that. You know why? It's because I want to see people's face and shake their hand. I hate a mask. You know, I wear it, but I hate it because I want to see you smile. I want to see your cute little faces and, you know, and I want to hug your neck. I mean, that's just the church I grew up in. If I watch online, you know what I'm doing? Battery, my clock ain't working. What's that people doing outside out there? Somebody walking through our yard? I'm not good at watching church online. I got to come here. That's why God opened the doors of the church back up because he knew I was a mess if I didn't get it. So we connect with believers. We meet needs of others in love. How do we do that? We do that. We got so many ways we meet the needs of other people here. Christmas store. I'm going to probably leave somebody out, so I apologize right off the bat. For food bank. Listen, our students get the privilege, and I was so excited because we had somebody visit our students the other night and say, one of your students said they get the privilege to pack the food bank boxes. Somebody told us they thought that was work. It ain't. And I said, don't tell the students. Right now, they think that's a ministry. And I said, don't ruin it, you know, because that's what happens. Sometimes we take ministries and we ruin them. And we started packing the food bank boxes, and then I can get emotional watching the line of students standing around those boxes praying for those families. I can get emotional so quick because those families, I know every first Wednesday, we're going to take the opportunity to pray for them. And am I bragging on me? No, I'm bragging on what God is doing through students. I'm thanking Jesus for what he's doing. Students still care about other people. How awesome is that? Listen, I pay to come to, you ought to pay me to have to come to the student group. You ought to bring me, you ought to bring money. Say, hey, can I have my kid come to pack boxes? Yeah, bring him on. We'll take him. But we meet needs in love. We got backpack buddies that are going on. Here's another team of people that's doing that. Save a Life Ministries that we can be a part of. Christmas Store, Miracle League. We got mission opportunities. We'll even cover half of the students' cost to go on the mission trip. I mean, how awesome is that? I mean, we're trying our best to meet the needs in love here in our community. We are trying the best to meet those needs. Man, it's not about what can the church do for me. So many times we have been stuck on what can I get from the church? What do you have to offer? No, that's just not the way it works. It's what can I give to the church? If we all begin to give, then we get to see the church in the book of Acts come to life here in the 21st century. How do we get to see that? We get to see that by what people are doing, by what God is doing through people, saved people, connecting with believers, meeting needs in love, celebrating God through worship. Man, if I'm telling you something, if you couldn't get fired up about what we were singing about this morning, there's something wrong with you. Man, there's something wrong with you. I like loud music, just so y'all know. You can't turn it up too loud for me. I want my eardrums busted. Because I believe one day when we get to heaven, they're going to be some loud singing. I don't think there's a quiet spot over there. Because I think when everybody gets there, we're going to be praising Jesus. But thank you, Pastor Jared, and your team of people, so that we can celebrate God in worship through song. Man, I tell you, not everybody has that. I've been to a lot of churches before I had to lead the worship. Y'all heard how bad I sang a while ago. But we're in a church where we get to celebrate worship. And then what's the last thing? We devote. Are they a church that focuses on Jesus, devotes themselves to learning? Man, we got great opportunities for you to learn here. How do we have those? Man, we got life group. We got D groups. We got Wednesday prayer group. You know what happens with a prayer group when you start one, don't you? Start out with 50. Next week you got 8. I thought we was going to do something cool. Yeah. Listen, when we work. But when we pray, God works. I mean, what's your prayer life look like? But devotes themselves to learn. We got a prayer group that you can come to every week. And I actually got to go to it one week. So we have First Wednesday that's coming up this week with an opportunity for you to be here. A church that focuses on Jesus gets to participate in seeing people be saved, connects with believers, meets needs of others in love, celebrates God in worship, and devotes ourselves to learning. What does that add up to? A church focused on Jesus. That's the kind of church Bethel Baptist Church is. That's the kind of church that we need to be a part of. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord Jesus,